Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here. It's been good to be here. Appreciate what we've heard thus far in the service, Sunday school. We'll say it's good to be back. I also want to, I guess it made me aware again of the blessings of brotherhood. And I just want to thank you for many of your encouragement, your things you have shared in the past couple weeks. I was blessed this morning with the thoughts on light. And I was wondering if we talk about... Been doing a little bit of studying and this Webb telescope, and it's the vastness of the heavens and everything out there. Just I think it helps our perspective of who we are and who of our Creator. On these first couple benches, how fast is... We talk about the speed of light. So how fast is the speed of light? Can somebody tell me? How far does the speed of light... we talk about light years. So how far does light go in a year? Anybody? Well, you can look that up for... Tell me next Sunday. So... If it takes how many minutes for the light from the sun to hit us? When the sun pops over the horizon, how long does it take for the light to get to us? 8 minutes. And so if you traveled at the speed of light around the globe, do you ever, those of you that travel from East Coast to West Coast or from here to West Coast in a car, it takes a long time, right? But if you were traveling at the speed of light and you started around the Earth, it would, in 1.3 seconds, you would be around the globe. And you'd be around the globe, if my memory serves me right, you'd be around seven times. Am I right? In a second. So how long is a second? You know, right? That fast? You couldn't even see the person going by, could you? It'd just be, and the person, I don't know what he'd see after that speed. So light years, it's beyond, it's hard to grasp those, that the greatness and the vastness of who God is. In his creation. I'd like to turn this morning to a very, like Dalton said, a very familiar passage, Psalm 23. And often when I look at Psalms, if I'm on an even number, I jump to the next even number. So this one, we're going to look at Psalm 23, 25, and 27. And we might sing Psalm 25 there. If somebody has a pitch there for me, I wasn't sure what that one is. Why don't we stand and read this psalm, or you can quote it. Probably most of us can quote it. Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. So it's a psalm that's beautiful. It's one that probably a lot of us have memorized at different stages of our life, in Sunday school maybe, in school, Bible school. It's a psalm that brings comfort in any situation to those that are suffering. You know, the opening words there says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you know, the key, I think, in that one is the "my." You know, the verse that Dalton read there, "For God so loved the world." I think one of the key words in there is that "so," "for God so loved," how much he loved. And then I think in this one, it's "the Lord is my shepherd." You know, it's not just "the Lord is a shepherd." He is my shepherd. That is personal. That can be personal to everyone, to every believer. You know, that brings comfort and joy. And that's in the present tense. That's right now, right here. He is my shepherd. You know, these present tenses of the promises in the Bible are rich in meaning. They were for them. They are for us, for you, and for I personally. They will stand for all time. You know, David was talking from experience here. He was an Eastern shepherd. He was one that risked his life to save the sheep. You know, how many times do we, what if you were out somewhere and there was an animal that was in danger? You know, we'd probably look at it carefully, what the danger was to us in this. And I don't know how David looked at that, but he was out there taking care of those sheep, and he was going to do his job, and he did it well. There was no lion or bear. He tackled them and saved the sheep. But you know, he was human. But we have a shepherd that knows everything. There was a risk when David went up to that bear, to that lion. But we have a shepherd that is in control. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. There is nothing that can happen without his knowledge or without his allowing it. You know, they were these sheep. When he took the shepherds that took care of the sheep, there was often little rain and pasture was hard to find. And there was a lot of work involved in keeping these, taking these sheep out to find pasture and to find water and shade. And there was times he'd have to carry the weak or maybe the straying ones. The flock needed water. You know, Jesus also refers to himself as the water of life. We need that refreshment, that life-giving water. You know, when we're deprived of water, you know, right now water looks pretty important. Water is, hearing a rain right now, it's just beautiful. And there's what to sit on the porch in the morning and hear it rain. That's happened a couple times here in the last several weeks. Not very much, but we'd still glad for what we got. And what we got was beautiful. But you know, when there's a drought, water becomes much more precious. And it's, you think of the time that you were the very thirstiest, just really thirsty. Were you all, when you were out hiking somewhere and it was hot, you were thirsty, there was no water, you ran out of water, weren't you just longing for a Mountain Dew? Maybe a few people, but I doubt most of you. It was water. You want water. You want something that satisfies. You want something that refreshes, not some substitute. You know, there are places right now where water levels are subsiding, and it is getting dangerously low. It's very important. It's a big concern. Well, sometimes God takes us down long, hot, dusty trails that will lead us, but they will lead us to green pastures and cool streams. Maybe not the way we see it, not the way we want it. We chafe, we wonder, why? Why this, Lord? But it might be just that our willingness to let go will make this path, will lead to blessing. It'll make you stronger. If you let it, you may look back and say, thank you, Lord. And, you know, there may be things that we never understand in this life also. But I like that song. There's nothing here, nothing happens here that heaven will not cure. It says, he restoreth my soul. You know, a wolf may sneak in and hurt one of the flock before the shepherd is able to run him off. You know, I don't have a lot. I don't have any experience with sheep at this point. I may someday, but I don't now. But I do with chickens, and there's a whole different that's a different animal. But one thing I've noticed with the chickens I've got right now is they're very flighty, and that's good. They get out of the way. It's interesting to me. I got out to the barn a couple days ago, and the one side of the barn where there's usually lots of chickens outside, and they're out in the field, there was not a chicken on that side. And I got kind of scared. I thought, something's going on here. They were in the barn just going crazy, making all kinds of noise. And so I walked out along the barn to see if there was anything out there. I couldn't see anything. There was whatever the predator was, whatever scared them was gone, but there was not one chicken on that side of the barn, not one in the field, nowhere. And I didn't see any feathers, so that was good, but doesn't mean something didn't fly off or run off with one. But they're flighty. They move quickly when something happens. But the ones that suffer the fatalities are the ones that fly into different pens. And it seems like when the predators come in there, they don't have the sense enough to fly back across quickly like they should, and instead run around in there and I've been finding several that looks like some airborne predators are coming in. But they get away from safety. They go out by themselves, and they're the ones that suffer. But the sheep that gets away and is hurt, you know, the shepherd does his best to nurse it back to health, to bring it back in. He won't leave it out there to the wild animals. We know the story that Jesus gave about the 99, about leaving those to go find the one that was missing. And I think that's the mind of Christ. That's who Christ is. He's not going to let that one go for the 99. And I think as a brotherhood, as a body, that is our calling too, to reach out to those that are hurting, to those that are struggling. You know, when we're hurt by the wild, prowling beasts of temptation, we're wounded, torn, hurt almost to the point of death. You know, it's the shepherd with infinite tenderness and gentleness and patience wants to give healing and restoration. If we faint by the way, we get discouraged or are sinking like Peter, you know, our shepherd is there waiting to bring us back, to pick us up. He won't give up easily. You know, sometimes we feel like we've got a limit. We can't go any further. We get exasperated. We're ready to throw in the towel. But, you know, not so with the true shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He doesn't leave us there. He leads us in the path of righteousness. He meets our every need, or leads and carries his sheep. You know, we don't know where those paths will take us, but we know where they will lead us if we follow him. Our good shepherd is the creator of the world. He's the conqueror of all, and is able to care and provide for his sheep in whatever place he leads them to or through. Let's go to Psalm 25. And maybe we'll sing that one. Maybe I'll read Psalm 27 first, the first five verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The beautiful promises there. So why don't we stand together and sing this unto thee, O Lord. Do you want to lead that, Kevin? Get the pitch right there, and then we'll start with the men leading out. Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths, trust in me.
Stop there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, as we come before thee again this morning, we thank you again for the promises you've given us, that you'll be with us, that you are our shepherd, and that you care. We thank you for the examples that you've given us, that regardless of what we're facing, you're there with us. You care. You weep with those that are weeping, rejoice with those that rejoice. We just pray that you might, Lord, you know each struggle, you know each heart, you know the what each one here is facing, those that can't be here with us, those that are in other places, those that have lost loved ones. We just pray that your blessing and your nearness to each one. And Lord, just help us to keep our focus on thee and to let that light, your light, radiate from our lives and to be an exclamation mark for you wherever you place us. And just help us to seek to follow your path and to be more like you. We just want to commit this service to you. We pray for blessed Brother Jonathan as he brings a word to us. Just open our hearts for what you have for us. And just pray your blessing on each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.